I'm speaking with Chris Williams, Employment Practices Product Manager at Travelers. And today we're talking about quite a few of the different state and municipal employment laws that are throughout the country and what that means to employers. Can you tell me a little bit about, you know, some specific examples of laws that states or municipalities are implementing?
So there's a variety of different examples that I can give you. So, for example, certain counties have established rules that employers with a certain threshold of employees may not conduct an investigation of an applicant's conviction until after the conclusion of the first interview. So, in other words, you could not ask an applicant, have you ever been convicted of a crime, when you first meet with them. And the premise behind those statutes is that asking for criminal background checks is potentially discriminatory to minority workers, and for that reason, you can't ask that. Another example is minimum wage laws. So the federal minimum wage law is $7.25 per hour. California employers with 25 employees or fewer have a $10 per hour minimum wage. And if you have more than 25 employees in California, you're subject to a $10.50 minimum wage, just to give you a couple of examples. Along those lines, there's the Family Medical Leave Act, which is a federal act which obligates covered employers to provide eligible employees with up to 12 weeks of unpaid leave. And then that raises the question, well, who's a covered employer? And it's an employer with 50 or more employees and 20 or more work weeks in the current or preceding year. So if you're an employer operating countrywide, that's fairly straightforward to understand what your obligations are. The issue for an employer is that in different laws, there are different states, rather, there are different laws. So in New Jersey, for example, you have an obligation to provide certain workers with paid leave, which isn't obligated under federal law. The Oregon law applies to employers with 25 or more employees. So there's different standards and different thresholds that apply, which can make operating as a large employer across state lines and particularly challenging.
So what broad types of changes do you see being made at the state level?
So I'd say at the state level, it's sort of gone in two different directions. Certain states are providing more protections to workers. So, for example, Massachusetts has passed a law now saying that employers cannot ask applicants for their salary history. And the notion behind that is that if employers rely on salary history, if a woman or a minority worker was paid less historically than a male, that would just perpetuate that discriminatory pay practice. So that's a sort of a situation where a state is providing more protection to workers. The flip side of that is certain states are passing laws which prevent the passage of local ordinances. So, for example, Indiana has a law that precludes cities from passing laws that bar employers from asking about a criminal's background. Similarly, Arkansas and Tennessee passed state statutes preventing cities and towns from passing laws protecting LGBT workers. So it's sort of the same side, but just same issue, but different sides of the coin, if you will.
So why has there been such a proliferation of employment laws at the state and local level?
I think there's a perception that employees increasingly need protection in some jurisdictions, and I suppose conversely, some municipalities have passed laws that are favorable to employees, and state legislators have tried to bar municipalities from passing those laws. I suppose there's a desire to protect businesses and to protect jobs in those cases to make it a more pro employer-friendly environment to operate in.
And so why should, you know, companies be concerned about this?
Well, the cost of litigating an employment case can be expensive. So if an employer is sued for a violation of an employment practices liability issue like discrimination, retaliation, or wrongful termination, it's not uncommon for the legal fees, the defense expenses alone, to reach $200,000. And that's just for the defense expenses. There was a study done, the Employment Practices Liability, Jury Awards, Trends, and Statistics. They looked at employment verdicts between 2009 and 2015. The average verdict was $397,132. And that figure doesn't include plaintiff's fees or defense expenses. So in most employment cases, when a plaintiff sues, they're entitled to their attorney's fees that they've incurred on top of the verdict. So let's just say you have $200,000 in defense expenses plus $397,132. In our experience, the plaintiff's fees are generally more than the defense expenses. So it's not uncommon to get a verdict that's close to $1 million. So that's sort of one real reason why employers should be concerned about just the dollar cents of how much those cases can cost. And that's sort of the monetary component. Anyone that's been involved in employment litigation can tell you what an arduous and difficult process it is to go through. Employers have to turn over records, emails, personnel files. Employees get turned over for depositions. And basically every decision they've made along that process with regard to the terminated employee gets questioned. I've yet to meet sort of anybody who's gone through one of those claims and say, boy, I'd really like to do that again because it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that doesn't sound fun. So what do companies need to know?
So I think a couple things. One, just have a process in place to monitor the development of state and local laws. And that's really a key function of HR staff. I would say, though, monitoring the changes is not enough. Recognize that internal policies may need to be changed to comply with the law. Along with those lines, especially for employers that are growing and expanding into new areas, one of the key issues they should focus on is the risk and making sure that they understand what their obligations are in those new territories and jurisdictions with regard to any employees that they hire there. So that's one issue. Issue two is just to consider the benefit of employment practices liability insurance, which can protect employers providing coverage for defense expenses, settlements, and verdicts of discrimination lawsuits or demand letters or EEOC charges. The third thing you might want to consider is just the benefit of insurance because a lot of carriers, including Travelers, provide risk management services to its insureds. And that comes in a variety of formats. So, for example, we provide checklists, and that would include things to consider before you terminate an employee, articles on changes to the law, so that would be a good way to stay abreast of changes that are happening. Three, we can provide sample policies to clients so that they can make sure that their policies are up to date, and that's all done online. Another potential risk management benefit is a hotline that we provide to our insureds. So if they have a general employment law question, they can talk to an attorney about that issue.
Okay. Thank you. Chris Williams, Employment Practices Product Manager at Travelers.